I can see your fingerprints upon my life, always seeking my best. There were times when your way would make no sense, but as you said, you have never left. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe, you are always only good. Looking in, I can see my frailty. My sin is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe, you are always only good. I can see your sympathy. I doubt myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me for our home above. You are always good. You are only good. My heart believe you are always only good. You are always good.
Amen. Yes, he is. Great truth to the singing today. The songs that have been selected have presented us with great biblical truths, and I'm thankful for them. Before we get into the message this morning, there's a couple of things I want to ask you to do. One is remember that I think it was last year, Brother Dan, you may have to help me, it may have been 2 years ago, we started something here at the church, Brother Dan and I. We prayed about it, and we thought, you know, it'd be a good gesture, just a good thing to do, to show our appreciation for the veterans, not only within the church, but within the community, that everyone that is in our service next Sunday, we'd like to take them and their spouse out to eat on the church. And we go up to a place called Pepper's up in Culpeper. Was it last year, 2 years ago? 1 year. Okay, last year was kind of the first year. And we want to do that again this year. And so if you're here and you're a veteran, please come prepared to go out with us after the service and bring your wife and family. We'd love to have you in that time just to show you that we appreciate your service to our country. We certainly want to be a spirit-filled church. And I just believe, now I'm not saying that you just because you're patriotic that makes you spiritual, but I'm going to tell you something. If you're spiritual, you will be patriotic. Amen. Now I know some patriotic people's not even saved, so they're not spiritual. But I just believe when you're right with God, you'll stand behind your country. And I love America. I thank God for this country. And I know America's not all that she once was. I realize that. And I realize that we've come a long way from where our forefathers intended for this country and what God intended for this country to be. But America, in spite of all the wrong that we could point out, America still got some things right. And we're participating in some of it today. Amen? Amen. Amen. There's still people in America, all over this country, brethren, probably in every state, maybe not as many as we'd like to see. And let me just change that. It's not as many as we'd like to see, but there's local assemblies, Bible-believing assemblies, that are meeting all across our great country today, and they're doing just what we're doing. Amen. They're worshiping the one true and living God. Amen. I realize there's a lot of Baalism and a lot of worldliness and secularism and secular humanism out there, but I thank God that there's some folks that have it right. Amen. And we are worshiping the one true and living God. Amen. And so let's listen. We could spend the rest of today and tonight and weeks talking about all that's wrong with America. But let's focus on what's right with America, and let's thank God for our veterans and these men and women that have stood and fought and sacrificed that we might still be able to enjoy some of what's right with America. Amen. Can you say amen with me? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so you come next week prepared to have your soul stirred, and we're going to honor our veterans in the service. We'll have a slot of the service that will honor them, and then we want to take them and just show them that we appreciate them and have a meal with them and just let them share some things with us that I know would be a blessing to us. Last night, you're right, Brother David, I enjoyed the stories of Dr. Thompson, and just to hear him say what it was when that wing turned up and he saw the stars and stripes. I tell you, brother, there's something about that. Men, listen, the Bible says, scarcely would a good man, peradventure would a righteous man die. And I realize that Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, that he died for sinners. But I sure am thankful that people that have never met me, people that have never met you, never seen you, they are standing on the front somewhere protecting the liberties that we enjoy here this morning. And I want to bless the name of my great God and Savior for that. And I try to make it a practice. When I'm out in public and I see people that have served our country, I tell them, thank you. Thank you for your service. I want my children, and they did, they grew up under that, and I pray they would bring their children up under it. And that we would, listen, instead of going, and I'm not opposed, and you say, well, you going to preach? Oh, I'm going to preach. But listen to me. Instead of taking our children to Disney World and King's Dominion, we ought to take them to see the Veterans Memorial. Amen. And the Korean Memorial. Amen. Amen. Let them see what history is and why they can go to Disney World if they choose and why there is a King's Dominion. Because we live in a country where men and women laid it down on the line, brother, so you and I could enjoy the liberties and freedom. I thank God for America. Thank God for America. And I believe that you do as well. And so let's do everything we can to come next week. Bring someone with you. If you know a veteran, go out and invite them to the service. Maybe your neighbor's a veteran. Maybe you work with someone that's a veteran. You tell them, listen, Fellowship Baptist Church wants you to come and worship the one true and living God with us. And we want to treat you to a meal as just a small token of saying thank you for your service to our country. Would you do that? Would you pray much for the service next week? Now I want you to bow your head with me, and I want to ask you to do something. I pray that today you ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. And if you didn't, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Would you bow, and we'll have just a moment of silence before God and ask God, God, please remove any sin from my life and help me to be a Spirit-filled listener today. God, speak to my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might hear your word today and that I might be a doer of your word and not a hearer only. Let's have that moment right now. Father, we need you this morning. We have come here to worship you. We have come here to hear from heaven. God, I pray today that the message would not be just from these clay lips and the message would not be from just the heart of mine. But I pray you would help me to express the heart of God. God, there's needy people. in this congregation this morning. In a real way, we all are needy people. We can't do life without you. God, as a songwriter penned many years ago, we can't even walk without you holding our hand. We just can't do it, Lord, without you. We pray for your presence in a very real way. We open our hearts to you. God, as the Word of God is open before us, I pray that we would receive the Word of God as those early apostles and that church and those believers there in the Berea area with all readiness of mind and of spirit. We receive it, Lord, as the Word of God. Help us to act on it, to embrace it, that it may have an effectual working in our lives now. May the name of Jesus be magnified. Draw the believer closer to you. And I pray that you would convict the sinner and that the sinner might come to you, that they might be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in the book of Mark, in chapter number 6, so about 3 years ago, we went through, on Sunday mornings, we went through the book of Mark, a series of messages that God laid upon my heart. And I was thinking and looking ahead. We have been in the book of Matthew, and I've been preaching a series of messages on the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to get back to that series, but there's some things that God's laid on my heart. In a few moments or a few weeks, we've got Veterans Day, we've got Thanksgiving coming up, and some things. And I like to try to preach around those times because I believe people's hearts are open to those things. We've got the Christmas season come up, which is my favorite time of the year. I love the Christmas season. Yeah, I don't believe Christians ought to celebrate Christmas. Well, you think what you want to think. I'm going to celebrate it. Amen? The Lord has come. Joy to the world. And we're going to celebrate that. And we're going to look at the Scripture and what God says about that special time when God sent His Son into the world. As I began to think about those things, I began to think about, and God began to take my heart, and I kind of went back over my life. And I thought, you know, God sure has been good to me. I look back at my childhood and where God found me and what God has done in my life. And I stand before you astounded. I mean amazed at what God can do with little to nothing. The songwriter sure had it right. Sometimes I feel like he had me in mind when he said little is much when God is in it. You ever feel that way? You just feel like I don't have much to offer God. But God sure does have a whole lot to offer me. And I began to think about those thoughts, and my mind went back to this passage of Scripture here in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, in verse number 30 through the remainder of the chapter, we have a great picture of Jesus meeting human needs. That's why Jesus came. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus came to meet the needs of mankind. And mankind sure is a needy species. Amen. I mean, we're a needy people. So when I began to look into this section, there's three pictures, like little snapshots. And I've seen how God built some things here, and I want to try to build them with you. So I pray that you would think with me around these three thoughts. Okay, look if you would in verse number 30. The Bible says in verse number 30 of Mark chapter 6, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Now, in order to get a real mind on what's happening here, you have to go back and you can read in beginning in verse number 7, where Jesus in Mark chapter 6, he calls those apostles together. He chose the 12 and he sent them out two by two, right? In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, and it talks about how he sent them out and he told them what to do, and they go out and they minister to other people. And now they're coming back. They're exhausted. All right, I mean, they've been walking and preaching and ministering to people, and they've been reaching out and helping people, and now they come back and they kind of report to Jesus. We do that here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Our missionaries are out there serving around the world, and oftentimes when they come home from furlough, they'll come back to a church to report what they've been doing. And they do that through their letter. They'll send a letter to us, and they'll report what they have been doing, and as verse number 30 says here, what they have been teaching. Well, that's what's going on here. The disciples come back, And they say, boy, I tell you, it's been wonderful. We've been out there ministering to people and teaching people, and this thing of serving God is wonderful. But Jesus knew their heart. And I want you to notice what he does. He said in verse number 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Now, why was he telling them this? Because he wanted them to rest and to clear their minds, because he had some very important things that he wanted to teach them about ministry. Now, if you're here today and you're saved, God's called you to ministry. Now, I didn't say God's called you to the ministry, but God has called you to ministry. See, when God saves people, he gifts them. And he gifts them with abilities and talents to serve him and to minister to other people. That's what's going on here. He had called them. He had sent them. They had done and taught what he told them to do and to teach. Now they come back and they report to him. So that's what's happening. That's the backdrop of where our story takes place, okay? Now, verse number 31, Jesus said, you know, Brother David was talking about Wednesday night, the importance of routine. And I thought about, when I was thinking about this, I thought, here's a routine that many of us forget. Your body, my body, our bodies and our minds, and yes, even our spirits, need some rest. Now, oftentimes we don't balance work and ministry and rest very well. Some people are way off in the rest side, and some people are way off on the labor side. Let me tell you something now. God expects us, and it's one of the most difficult things I have ever done in my life and ministry, and that is to learn to balance things properly. One of the greatest things you'll ever do for yourself, for your family, and for God's sake, is to learn what it is to have a good balance in your life. One of the routines of life ought to be rest. You need rest. Now, don't overdo it, but don't you underdo it either. And so Jesus said, now, men, you need to rest. Look what he said in verse 31. Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Why? Look, verse 31. For there were many coming and going. That's where we get that phrase, you know. I don't know if I'm coming or going. Hey, man, sometimes I feel that way, don't you? I don't know where I'm coming or going. Well, here they were, and there were many coming and going. They were coming to them. Jesus had called them and empowered them and sent them, and they were working and teaching for the greatest person who ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ. They were weary and tired, and he said, you've got to come apart. You've got to clear your mind and refresh your soul, because I've got some more for you to do. Now, there may be somebody here say, preacher, I'm tired. You may need to rest a little bit before you trudge on. Because if you enter into some things wore out, you may not make it to the backside of that. You may become a casualty in the service of the Lord. And God knows we've had many of them and we don't need any more. So take the advice of Jesus and come apart for a while. And that doesn't mean drop out of church. It doesn't mean quit reading your Bible. It just means sometimes you have to back off, rest a little, evaluate, and then get fresh and go at it again. Amen. Is that what the Bible teaches? This means yes. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Now, notice what he said. You say, well, how will I know if I'm too busy? Watch this. Verse 31. There were so many coming and going that they had no leisure so much as to eat. You ever got so busy you didn't have time to eat? Some of you know what that's like. I mean, you just get so tied up in the work, you just forget to eat. Now, I can tell by looking at a lot of you, you hadn't ever got that tired. Amen. You never got that busy. Amen. And you're probably thinking, well, yeah, we can tell that by you too, preacher. But listen to me. It doesn't matter. You can weigh 400 pounds and still forget to eat. Not often, but you can still. Amen. So, you know, just because you're a big old hefty fella, that doesn't mean you hadn't forgotten to eat. You just got so caught up in the work that you're doing. And that's what Jesus is saying here. They got so caught up in the work they were doing, they didn't have the leisure time. Can I tell you, leisure time's okay. I used to feel guilty when I was in leisure time. I was just brought up that you work. You work. You get up before the sun comes up and you work. And then you continue to work. And when the sun comes down, you continue to work. Right? Feel a little guilty just taking a little leisure time, taking a vacation. But there's a time to come apart and rest. And so Jesus said, I got some things I want to teach you. So he got them rested. They were coming apart to rest. You with me now? Now he said, I want to teach you something. Look at what he said here. Verse number 33, the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. Much people. Look at it now. And he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Did you see what just happened? Jesus knew that these disciples were tired. And he knows when you get tired and people come to you for needs, that if you're not careful, when you're tired and you're worn, you get frustrated. And you'll say and do things that maybe ordinarily you wouldn't say and do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You say, yeah, I visited there not long ago, preacher. You visited there soon? You get tired and you're worn out, and then somebody comes to you and needs some help, and if you're not careful, you'll get like the disciples here. And you'll say some things and do some things you shouldn't say and do because you're weary and you're tired and you're frustrated and you're flustered. And God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to receive the people. And God wants us to help meet the needs of the people. God wants us to know what it is to take people to Jesus, you see. But when we get tired, we don't think the way we ought to think. And we don't act the way we ought to act. And we'll do some things that may hurt and do harm to the cause of Christ. And so listen, rest is a very, very important part of that routine that we heard about some Wednesday night. Then you get back here and it says this, when Jesus saw them. See, he saw them differently. Now, he was tired too. He was tired too. But Jesus never sent people away. Isn't that amazing? You know, I want you to highlight something in your Bible. Notice what it says in verse 34. I've got this highlighted in my Bible. He saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them. Now, you know, when people see people, depends on what you do in life, you see people in a different light. People, and we have some nutritionists in our congregation, and when they look at people, they think, man, that person needs to get in shape, amen? We have some folks that sell shoes in our congregation, and when people walk up, they don't look in their eye, they look at their feet. Right? We've got a couple of barbers, and you know, when Pastor Lamb, he cuts hair. I can tell you, he'll look at your hair. I've caught him looking at my hair before. I said, what are you looking at, Pastor Lamb? Amen. He's a barber. He's looking. He takes note of those things. You see, if whatever you do in life, you'll find yourself looking at that aspect. I want you to notice what Jesus, how he looked at the people. This struck me. And it said that when Jesus saw them, when he looked on them, he didn't look at their hair. He didn't look at their feet. He didn't look at their nails if they were a manicurist. He didn't look at these things. He looked at their heart. He looked at their soul. He looked beyond the outside and got down on the inside where the real need of man is. He saw them as sheep that did not have a shepherd. And that convicted me. I said, God, help me. When I look at people, I don't just see the contour of a body or the length of their hair, the color of their eyes. I look beyond that and realize that every person that is alive is a never-dying soul that God has put here. And they have a need in their life to know Jesus as their Savior. Amen. When we look at folks, we'll look beyond what they have and look at what they need. Amen. Can you say amen with me? That's what Jesus did. He saw them, look at verse number 34, as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them. Then the Bible says that the day was now far spent in verse 35, and his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. Now who said that, Jesus? No, his disciples. His disciples. Brother, can I tell you, as Christians, we've got to be in the people business. We can't be in the business of sending people away. You ever gone to a church assembly of people, and you can just tell, I'm not welcomed here. They've kind of got this attitude, well, it's us and our family, and we don't want anybody else here. I'm not throwing them under the bus. I'm telling you the facts here. There are churches that don't want to get larger. There are churches that don't want to reach out and reach other people. I, for the sake of me, can't understand that, because I believe that God is always growing things. God is alive, and God is always growing things. And if the church is alive, the church ought to be growing and going and glowing. Amen. And here the Bible says that when Jesus saw them, he was moved with compassion. But when the disciples saw them, they said, send them away. Jesus said, I got something I need to teach you. And so here's what he did. Notice the scripture. They said, send them away in verse number 36, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Let them fend for themselves, is what the disciples were saying. Now listen, as a believer, as a Christian, and it starts right here as the pastor, and it trickles right on down through every member of this church. If you're saved, we ought not be sending people away now. We ought not be saying, well, you just do it, take care of yourself. Now I realize there's a place where every man has a responsibility for themselves. I understand that. But there are just some things that man needs that they'll never be able to take care of themselves. God made it that way. God made it that way. And so they said, send them away. Let them just do it themselves. We're tired. You said take some rest. So we're going to rest. Can I tell you, when I go on vacation, I still witness to people. One of the first things we do when our family takes a vacation, we look for a church in the area we can attend. You ought to also. So when we go to church, we just get away from it all. But don't get away from God. Find you a place to worship with God's people. Everybody say amen now. This is God's way. Go to church. Worship God. You don't ever get away from God, you see. You don't ever leave Him out. Make worship a part of your daily living. And what happened here is when Jesus told them to come apart, they thought he meant just quit ministering to people. And he said, no, 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 no. Send them away, they said. And then Jesus answered in verse number 37, I'm sorry. He answered after they said, send them away and let them buy for themselves. In verse 36, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Let them get something to eat. He said, no, you give them something to eat. Is that what just happened right there, brethren? He said, no, you give them something to eat. You minister to them. You know this account in the scripture. It's one of the very few miracles that's listed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's listed in all four gospel accounts. The feeding of the 5,000. What is God trying to show me here? When I look at this little flash in scripture, what's God saying? He said, you know, there's people all around you, son. They're hungry. They're hungry. And while we live in this area, as we were talking earlier, America's been blessed. I doubt really now, and I mean really, if we were to get real and be honest, there's very few hungry people that live in our communities. Really. You want to see hungry? You can go places in this world and see hungry. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about not having a choice of what to eat or not having two meats and three vegetables, bread, tea, and coffee. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a time where when I was growing up, we didn't have anything but grilled cheese and tomato soup. Somebody say amen with me. You know what I'm talking about? And the grilled cheese we had, we didn't have enough bread to put two pieces of bread. We just had a piece of bread and laid a piece of cheese on top of it so everybody could have a slice. But don't you feel sorry for me. Because God was giving us that to eat. Amen. At least we had that to eat. Yeah. And we were taught, you give thanks. Listen, you give thanks for what you have. My grandmother said, you give thanks for what you have. We live in a country now, there's not a whole lot of hunger. So, listen, I want to talk to you a little bit about a little different kind of hunger. Notice what Jesus said. These people had a need, and they said, we're hungry. But they had a need that was far deeper than what that physical hunger was. Because when Jesus saw them back, now don't miss this statement. When Jesus saw them back in verse number 34, he didn't see them as the people that had no bread. Listen to me now. Listen to me. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus didn't see them as hungry in their body. See, Jesus saw that there was a different kind of hunger that bread cannot fill. The disciples saw them just as the physical, the material. And if we're not careful, that's the only way we'll see people. But Jesus said, guys, I'm going to tell you something. You got to get beyond what the physical eye can see. You got to get beyond what people have and look into their soul and see their need. See their need. What's their need, Lord? He said their need is a spiritual hunger. I see them as sheep that have no shepherd. I see them as a need that bread cannot fill. Aren't you glad for the day in your life that you learned that man cannot live by bread alone? Aren't you glad for the day in your life when you realize that there's a place, there's a vacuum in every soul and every heart of man that bread cannot fill? Only Jesus can meet that need. Thank God for that day in every born-again believer's life when you saw that there's a place, there's a need that nothing material, nothing physical, nothing that money can buy can fill, but Jesus can fill it. Amen. Jesus can fill it. Amen. He fills it. Now he said, I want you to fill it. Watch what they did. Because they wasn't looking the way Jesus looked. See, they had just been out and they had been ministering to people. And Jesus said, well, let's just see what you were doing out there. How you minister to people. Well, we took them a sack of groceries. I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. Sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes we ought to help people physically and financially. Amen. But there's got to be something attached to that if it's going to be biblical ministry. And so he said, you give them the, look at verse 37. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, for sake of time, I'm not going to get into it, but this is about the equivalent of 6 to 8 months' salary in that day. A lot of people there, a lot of bread to buy. Now, what's happening here? Did you get it? Jesus said, you give them to eat. And they said, well, let's see. We're going to need about 200. They done the math. Right? They done the math. Hey, can I tell you that God can do things that math cannot answer? And God was trying to teach these men something. He was trying to teach them. In your calculations, don't forget to add me to the equation. Now listen carefully here. When you are calculating the needs of others, don't just count what you've got in your wallet. Listen to me now. Don't just count what you can collect from those people there. Remember, when Jesus says, you do it. You do it. He doesn't mean without him. But he's trying to teach them. Because he had sent them out. And they had been, he wasn't there with them. He sent them. And he was trying to teach them, though I'm not there physically in your presence, you can always calculate and count me in on what you're going to need and use to meet the needs of the people. Now, brethren, here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and I pray, listen, every church ought to be this way. We may do it a little differently, but every church, when we go to see the needs of the community, the needs of the people, we've got to add Jesus to the part of the solution. Amen. The need of the people will never truly be met if Christ is not part of the solution. Say amen with me now. We've got to realize this. And so he said, you give them to eat. And they started calculating, just doing the math. Well, we're going to need about this much. He said, you missed it. Then he said in verse number 38, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And so they went out and they said, well, we found this little lad. Now you can read in Luke and Matthew, little lad, right? Andrew found a little lad. Got this little lad and he's got about 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now you read in Matthew and what Jesus say, bring them hither to me. Amen. Oh, I like that. Why do you like that? Because no doubt when they got through evaluating what their resources were to meet these needs, they thought, we're in trouble, man. Amen. I mean, listen, thousands of people. And they come back and they've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. For those of you on social media, that is an LOL and an SMH. Amen. Wow. We are not going to be able to do much with this. But what did Jesus say? Bring them to me. Now, what is Jesus trying to teach these men? You don't have a whole lot to offer. And you can look out across all this sea of people. They don't have a whole lot to offer. But if you get it to me, we get the job done.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, if there's one thing that I don't ever want to forget in my life, and there's one thing I pray to God that we'll never forget here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we may not have a lot to offer God, but thank God if we can just get it to Jesus, God will make much of it. You take that little bit that God gave you, and you give it back to Him, and you just watch and see what God will do with that. God will take that little handful of fragments, and He'll feed everybody, and then have leftovers, amen. That is what Jesus wanted to teach these men. Have you learned that yet? Have you learned that we live in a hungry world? And there's a God that has provision. And if we could just get to God and give what He has given to us back to Him, God will take it, bless it, break it, and meet the needs of the people. That's exactly what happens here. Then number two. By the way, I've got to say this. If you'll notice, he commanded them in verse number 9 to sit down in companies, and they sit in the ranks by hundreds and fifties. And what's Jesus doing there? He's teaching them something. When you give to me what you give to me, you trust me, I'm going to organize what you've given to me to meet the needs of the people. People say, well, preacher, we don't need any organization. We just let go and let God. Don't go, wait a minute now. If you're going to let go and let God, God's going to organize it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God organizes things. Hear me now. God organizes things.
Amen.
Why? Because God is a God of organization. Well, y'all have a lot of meetings, and it seems like y'all got this structure over there. That's right, because God's on it. Amen. And so, listen, you can get too organized and organize God out. I understand that. And we don't want to get there. Help us, Lord. I don't want to get there. But now God set them right down, and He said, we're going to do this with some structure. Some structure. God does things decently and in order. And so He fed them. And you know the story. The Bible says they did eat of the loaves, verse 44. There were about 5,000 men. And then you get into verse number 45. Watch this. Don't miss it. And straightway He constrained His disciples to get into the ship. Now I want you to think for a minute about that word constrained. It actually means that Jesus said, I want y'all to go get on the ship. And they said something like, and I'm just reading between the lines here. I'm not adding to the scripture. I'm just saying that He told them to go. And they said, well, you know, maybe we ought to hang around. He said, no, go. Now, come on, go. Well, now, maybe. Go. Go. Constrain. Constrain means that there was a little bit of resistance, but He just pushed on. In other words, I'm not asking you to go. I'm telling you. Right? There's no option here. I want you to go. And He constrained them. You see that, right? Look at it again, verse 45. Straightway He constrained them. Now, why did He do that? Don't do it now, but in John chapter 6, this story, after Jesus had fed the people, they wanted to make Him king. Read John chapter 6 when you get home, verse 15. The people come together and they wanted to make Him king, and He knew these disciples don't need this. They do not need this. Listen, you be careful who you spend your time around. They'll give you the wrong view of Jesus. Amen. This was not the time for Him to be king. That time is coming. Come on now.
Amen.
And so He got them away from that mindset and that influence because He knew that they're not going to be able to minister to hurting people if they get their mind in the wrong place. So He sent them on. He constrained them to get on the boat. Get on the boat, men. Come on, go, go. That's what He said to them. He constrained them, verse 45, and they got on, and look at what He said in verse 45. He constrained the disciples to get into the ship to go to the other side. Underline that, highlight it, put parentheses around it. You'll need to know what Jesus told them. You are going to the other side. And then the Bible says He sent away the people. And when He had sent away the people, verse number 46, He departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, now, I want you to underline that word, even. Yeah, that's a time. It was evening time. God wanted us to know that for a purpose, and here's why. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He along on the land, and He saw them. Now, in that first little snapshot, He saw the people as sheep having no shepherd. But now he sees his disciples and he's thinking, no, this is not working. Now, why do you think this is not working? Did you see the way Jesus saw them? Don't miss this, brethren. I see myself in this boat. See if you can find yourself in this boat. Jesus has just fed 5,000 plus people. He has just taught me a huge lesson on calculating him and adding him to the equation in order to meet people's needs. Now he tells me to get on a ship and go to the other side. And so instead of me just doing that, a storm comes, and notice what I'm doing. Can you see yourself there? Look if you would in verse number 47. When the even was come, he saw the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. Verse 48 says, he saw them, the disciples, toiling in rowing. You know what that word toiling means? It means that they are in agony. Their arms are so sore, they are going against, listen, they are going against the tide. They're going against, they are fighting. They're putting everything they've got into it. What are they doing? They're doing exactly what they did with the bread. They're leaving Jesus out. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, notice if you would, in verse number 52. After Jesus went to them, it says in verse 52, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, if we're not careful, now don't miss this. If we're not careful, we'll go through life and we'll forget that God's trying to teach us things and we'll just think, well, you know, I got to do life this way and I've got to do life this way and I can take care of this and I can do this. Did you know the Bible says that we can do nothing without Jesus Christ? Now, it's easy for me to stand up here and tell you that. But now to live it's a different thing. Right? Right, folks? It's easy to say, well, you know, the Bible says without him, we can do nothing. Have you asked him to do everything you've done today? Have you asked him to help you do everything you've done today? Then we must not believe without him, we can do nothing. We say that we believe that. And that through Christ, we can do all things. We know the Bible teaches this, but sometimes our heart gets hardened and we're like these old fishermen. We're in familiar territory and troubled waters, and we think, well, we've been through troubled waters before. We can handle this. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Everybody see what's happening here? We can't handle it. Oh, but we can. We can. I just know I can. I'm strong enough. I'm toiling and rowing. Just keep it up, guys. I can hear old Peter now. Just keep rowing, guys. Peter, I'm getting tired. I said, keep it up, boys. We're going to the other side. The master said, go to the other side. They never one time to stop and think, no, wait a minute. He just fed 5,000 men, not count women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He spoke this sea that is troubling us into existence. I think he could calm this, but they never called on him. Now, before we're too hard on the disciples, I've done that many times over. Over and over again. There's a song that says he was there all the time. Waiting patiently. I don't know if this song is doctrine when it says in line. But Jesus is standing somewhere in the shadows just saying, when are you going to call on me? When are you going to trust me? When are you going to put it into my hands? And so in the first, we see hunger and we see provision. In the second, notice if you would in this passage of Scripture, we see helplessness. Do you think these fellows are helpless? And then we see his presence. I want to give you a couple of truths and I'm going to close. I don't want you to miss this, okay? I believe with all of my heart, God has somebody here today that's right here. You're on this boat. Spiritually speaking, hypothetically speaking, listen. I believe that there's somebody, if not one, maybe more, that are here and you're on this boat and you are toiling and rowing. I mean, you really want to do the right thing. Jesus said, go to the other side. You want to do it. Your intent to get there, if you have to go through this storm, if you have to, listen, if you have to face hell itself, you want to do what Jesus said. And you know what? That's a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. But Jesus never intended us to do this on our own. He didn't, brethren. Please don't think that God has left us to ourselves to do what he saved us to do. He said, I have not left you. without a comforter. I've not left you comfortless. I will send another comforter to you. Aren't you glad for God's presence in your life? Could you imagine these guys? I mean, they were already tired. He said, you need to get some rest. And they're thinking, man, some rest this is. Amen. Yeah, huh? And then we got Peter. I mean, man, Peter won't, you know, roll, boys, roll. Peter, man, my arms are aching. They're about to fall off. He said, go to the other side. Roll. Peter, like a Baptist preacher. Amen. Amen. Bunch of backslid Baptists, get right with God and serve Him, amen. Yeah, row, boys, row. We're tired. Row. Jesus said, get to the other side. The Bible says, verse 48, He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them. Did you see what just happened? When did this begin to happen? Look at verse 47. In the evening. About somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock of the next morning. That's the fourth watch of the night. Jesus came to them. He left them rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. And they were probably thinking, where is He at? Right? Huh? I have prayed and prayed. I have walked and walked. I have rowed and rowed. He's standing with me all on my knees. Where is He at? He's just waiting on you to call Him. He's just waiting for me to say, Lord, help me. The Bible says if you'll draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. Did you notice the order of that sequence? I think sometimes we think we just kind of sit down and, you know, God, here I am, do it all. Amen. Just bless me when I need it and whatever. But God wants us to learn to depend on Him, to trust Him. Were these guys trusting in the Lord? Were they trusting in the Lord? No. No. Just because they were doing what God said to do, that doesn't mean, or attempting to anyway, that doesn't mean they were trusting in the Lord, right? No. The Bible says because they forgot, verse 52, look at it again now. They forgot about that miracle. Now see, if you hear and you're saved, Jesus has already done the greatest miracle you'll ever have happen in your life. Amen. He saved you.
Amen.
Everything else is kind of from the greater to the lesser.
Right.
Now why won't we trust Him to meet our need? Why won't we trust Him to help us get over to the other side? Why won't we trust Him to help us when we need His help? Why don't we ask Him? And so He went to them. And the Bible says when He went to them, by the way, that long wait there, I can't tell you how many times in my life I have, without need, it didn't have to be this way. I have suffered and lost so many things unnecessarily. Because yes, I was doing what God said do, go to the other side. I was doing what Jesus said do. I just wasn't asking Him to help me do it. Do you know what I'm saying today?
Amen.
And so we're out here rowing and rowing and rowing, and He's just up on the mountain praying, saying, come on, guys. And so we waited. Now I want to give you a promise here. You may be sitting here this morning saying, preacher, I am in a bad way. I mean, I have been stripped and robbed. I feel like that man on the road to Jericho that the Good Samaritan helped. I just feel broken. I need some help. I've turned to this and I've turned to that. I've looked in, I've looked around, I've looked out, and I just don't know what to do, preacher. Get Jesus involved. Just say, Lord, help me. God, I don't even know which way to turn. I don't know. I mean, you get in a storm like this, brother, you listen to me. You get in a storm like this, you studied this real careful. You get in a storm like this, and you're not going to be able to lay it down ABC. You're just going to smote yourself on the chest and say, God, help me. God, help me. As a matter of fact, that prayer, Lord, save me, happened right here. It doesn't record it in Mark, but Peter did walk to Jesus on the water, and he looked at the waters, and he began to sink. And when he did, he said, Lord, save me. It's a good prayer for times like this, isn't it? And Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him. Sometimes we just need to get Jesus involved. And if we're not careful, as Christians, we'll just do things through life and not get him involved. The Bible says in verse number 50, they all saw him and were troubled. And that's the way it is when we don't get Jesus involved. He'll come, but we won't even recognize that it's him when he does. But notch carefully as we bring this to our final thought. The last thing here in verse number 50, it says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Do you see what happened there? Now look right up here at me for a moment. When we're in a storm, these men were troubled. And some of you are in, you're in storms. Now, granted, most of it is our own making. We do it to ourselves. We don't like to admit that. I understand. It stings. Doesn't that sting? Yeah, it does. It was nobody's fault but these disciples that they didn't call on the Lord. Amen. He was there. He was available. It's no one's fault but their own. And many times I have gotten myself in some unpleasant waters and in some unpleasant situations. I did it to myself. Oh, I'd like to blame it on the preacher, the church, my parents, whoever. You know, man, if you take the blame, I'll blame it on you. You know, all right? But the fact of the matter is, it's me. And I understand that stings. And Jesus is trying to teach these disciples something. But how gracious is our God? Did you see it in verse 50? He said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And then if you'll look in verse number 51, he went up into them into the ship and the wind ceased. What happened there? You didn't miss it, did you? Jesus calmed them before he calmed the storm. Did you see that? He said, "Be not afraid. It's I. Calm down. Now let's calm the storm you're going through." See, sometimes God will do that. God doesn't calm the storm to calm us. God wants us to trust his word to calm us even when the storm is still raging. Amen. And so don't think, well, God's not answering my prayer. God's not helping me because the storm's still raging. Oh, if you'll listen, you'll hear him. Why? Because he said, "My sheep hear my voice." God will calm you. God will calm me. God will give us words of solace and comfort even while the storm is still raging. And so perhaps this morning, the storm's still raging in your life and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit's just saying, "Hey, don't be afraid. I'm right here. I'm right here. But God, I don't deserve it. I know you don't. But God, I didn't have the faith to call on you." They didn't either. But I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm glad the only time God comes to me is not just when I call him. I'd be in a mess. How about you? So there's hunger, and then there's his provision. There's helplessness, and they were definitely helpless. But there's his presence. The greatest thing in my life is when God's presence is real to me. There's nothing greater in life. I am so thankful for God's presence. I'll just mention this one. The last one's the hurting. When they got through with this, I want you to know something. It changed their life. When they landed on the other side of that sea, look if you would in verse number 53, "And when they had passed over," I could just take laps around the church when I read that. Jesus had told them to get on the ship and go to the other side. Man, it was hard getting over there, but they got over there. You know why? Because he told them they were going to. Amen. Amen. Jesus told us we're going to heaven too. Now, he didn't say the ride might not be bumpy. I'd like to stand up here and tell you, well, you know, you get saved and all your problems are going to go away and it's just going to be smooth sailing from here to glory land. But I'm not going to lie to you that way. I wouldn't mislead you that way. Your ride from here to heaven might be bumpy. It might be stormy. You might have to give up some things and lose some things. But when you land on yonder shore, and I didn't say if, I said when, because you can rest assured. If you got on the old ship of Zion, you going to the other side. Amen. We're going to end up on the other side. It'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, brethren.
Amen.
They started bringing people out and laying them on the seat and said, oh, if we could just touch the hem of his garment. If you'll read that last portion there, you'll find they were bringing them to him. They finally got it. They finally got it. We got to get them to Jesus. They didn't attempt to just go out and say, well, we can take care of this. We done been on one tour. Just stay right here, Lord. We got it from here. We'll go out. No, no. They ran out in the cities and the streets, and they were just bringing them to Jesus. Amen. And those people were saying, man, there's something about the message of these men. If we could just touch the hem of his garment. I pray that my life would be led the way, and yours would too. If people say, if I could just get to Jesus, I could get me some help. I pray people see that in my life and yours. Not Fellowship Baptist Church, brethren. I love Fellowship Baptist Church. Not Pastor Dale Freeman. That's not who people need to get to. Fellowship Baptist Church and Pastor Freeman needs to be a bridge between people and Jesus.
Amen.
Let's just get them to Jesus. Amen. Why? Jesus meets people's needs.
Amen.
He does. What's your need today? What's your need? So, preacher, I don't have any needs. Well, that means God's meeting them. But it doesn't mean that you may not before you leave the building today. You may get a text before you get to your car today. You may get a phone call upon arriving home today that could rock your world. You hooked up to the right power supply? Are you trusting in the right source? Jesus meets human needs. Let's all stand. I'm thankful that God uses us to help meet people's needs. Sometimes we can ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he'll say, just give me what you got. And I am going to stretch it. I'm going to take this little and make much of it. I'm thankful to God for that. Today I spoke mainly to people that are saved. But there may be somebody here today that's never been saved. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play, and as she begins to play, I wonder if there's someone here today, as Christians come, God spoke to your heart, believer. You're a Christian. You know Jesus as your personal Savior, and you have needs in your life. Needs in your heart. Needs in your home. Needs in your family. Needs in your marriage. Needs among your children. There's a child that's gone wayward, and you would sure love to see him get back to Jesus. And you've been calculating what it's going to take, but you left Jesus out. Listen, add him to the equation this morning. Would you do that? Maybe there's a need that you have in your marriage, and you've been trying to think, now I can do this, and I can get her to do that, or I can get them to do this. Add Jesus to the solution. Add him to the equation. And watch the need get met. Because Jesus meets needs. There's nothing else I get out of that final portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 6. It's Jesus meets needs. The hungry, there's provision. The hurting, there's power. The helpless, there's presence. God wants to meet your need. While Christians are praying, I wonder if there's one here today that would say, preacher, I am saved. I know Jesus as my personal Savior. But I have drifted far from the place where God would have me to be. And I need God's help to get me back. I realize it, preacher. The Spirit of God has been dealing with me and speaking to me. And today, He put His finger on that place in my heart. And I long to get back to Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to please pray that I would allow God to draw me back to Himself. Anyone like that today? Just raise your hand. Anyone? God speak to your heart today as a Christian. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Yes, young man. God bless you, young man. Who else today? God speak to your heart. Raise your hand high so the preacher can see it. I just want to pray for you. I see your hand there in the back. Sir, yes, sir. I see your hand right here, sir. Right here in the front, sir. I see your hand. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand there. God, help these folks. Please, Lord. Folks, make Jesus part of the solution. Don't calculate without Him. Don't do that. Now for the final question of the morning. Is there someone here today say, Preacher, I've never been saved. I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior. I'm concerned that if I were to die or Jesus were to come, I would die in my sin or I'll be left behind because I'm not saved. And I'm concerned about that. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't even want to continue to live in my unconfessed sin. Would you pray for me, Preacher? I need God's forgiveness of my sin. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Anyone like that today? Lift your hand high. Pray for me, Preacher. I'm not saved. My sin's not forgiven. I'm outside the fold. God put His hand on my heart today and showed me that, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Anyone like that today? Anyone anywhere? All right. Brother David Thompson's going to come to the platform, and we're going to close our service in a word of prayer. If you're here today and you're hurting, let us help you. We'll open up the Bible and show you how Jesus can be part of meeting that need. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I've tried to be faithful to preach what you've laid upon my heart. Thank you for speaking to me and convicting me and reproving me for times that I don't trust you. Times that I won't place things into your hands. God, please forgive me. Forgive me of my pride and my self-reliance. God, help me to trust you with all of my heart and not to lean upon my own understanding, but in all of my ways to acknowledge you. And I pray you'd help us as a church, as a people, to acknowledge you in all of our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.